And this is the Law Matters program brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Welcome to the program. This program proudly produced and presented by the Aboriginal Legal Service and been on air since 2010. And a shout out to our listeners around the country listening in through the National Indigenous Radio Service and also through Boorloo, where we record this program from at 100.9 FM Noongar Radio. And in the Kimberley region of WA, a shout out to all the mob around Warringarri Media in Kununurra and also 6DBY in Derby. A big program for you today. We're going to be continuing our discussions about the disarray that Western Australia's court system is in. 26 regional courts in the state have closed as of the 1st of June and will not reopen their doors until the end of August. Absolute crazy situation. And disruption it's causing within the court area is just ridiculous. So I'm going to be having a yarn with a woman by the name of Melissa Clark, who is an independent member of the National Justice Policy Partnership. Melissa's currently in the Kimberley and has been visiting Broome and Derby and yarning with people there. We'll get her views on that. And we'll also talk with Nick Espy, who is the General Manager of NATSLS. NATSLS is the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. Nick also used to be one of our lawyers at the ALS many years ago in Kununurra. So really looking forward to having a yarn with Nick on the program today as well. And seeing what the NATSLS on a national level make of all of the court closures that are happening in Western Australia. Also going to be meeting Professor Emerita Eileen Baldry AO, who is the co-chair of an organisation called QWOOP. QWOOP stands for Keeping Women Out of Prison. So a big show, let's get on with it and start with this one. This is Natasha Blurton and Phil Wally Stack, and Always Was, Always Will Be.
Trust. Black love is us. Till black lives matter, I'ma rep the flag for us. Ancient spirits, gifted with the ancient stories. Let our knowledge guide us, freedom as we sing our story. Raise our pride with glory, celebrate those who came before me. Always was, always will be, can never erase that story.
Always was and always will be.
Yeah, always was, always will be. Kicking off Law Matters for another fortnight. Thank you for your company on this program. Jody Hoffman with you in the chair for the next hour. Got a lot of important issues to get through today, as I mentioned at the top of the program. We'll be focusing a lot in the second half of our show today on the ongoing chaos caused by the closure of 26 regional courthouses in Western Australia. Started on the 1st of June and goes right through until the end of August. But first, really important issue, and we're going to find out about the Keeping Women Out of Prison Coalition. It may alarm you, I hope it alarms you, to know that Aboriginal women are now imprisoned at 22 times the rate of non-Indigenous women, the highest on record. In New South Wales, more than 60% of women in New South Wales prisons are held on remand, awaiting trial. 52% ultimately don't even receive a custodial sentence. Most are charged with minor offences. Most are mothers. Most could be safely diverted from prison. And we know about the extraordinary cost of locking up people, whether they're men, women or children. It costs $180,000 per woman per year in prison. It's an extraordinary amount of money when there are so many other avenues that could be taken to words fail me. Coop works in this area, and I'm happy to have on the program today Professor Emerita Eileen Baldry, AO, who is the co-chair of COOP, which is Keeping Women Out of Prison. Professor, thank you for your time on Law Matters. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks so much for having me on the program. And good morning to you. Good afternoon from the East Coast. And I want to acknowledge I'm on Gadigal land, and I acknowledge this land.
Eileen, your research focuses on social justice, and you are Professor Emerita of Criminology at the University of New South Wales. This must be an area that's very close to your heart, and it must be difficult when you see the injustice that is facing so many women across the country.
Look, indeed, Jody. I think your introduction was terrific because it painted that broad picture. Are in New South Wales is reasonably similar to the rest of Australia. I mean, Western Australia is a bit worse, Northern Territory is much worse, Victoria is not as bad, so to speak, but in general, we are seeing a number of things that are terribly concerning for COOP, the Keeping Women Out of Prison Coalition. The things that worry us particularly are that women going into prison, women's rate is growing faster than men's rate, and that's been going on for the last maybe 15 years, that Aboriginal women's rates are going up even faster. And then the third thing you pointed to was remand. Remand over the last 5 to 6 years has got completely out of control. And when you said it, absolutely true that on any one day in prison in New South Wales, 60% of the women in prison are on remand. That means they haven't been sentenced and they're waiting their trial. But a key thing, it would be wonderful for your listeners to understand, and it is the case everywhere, that there is a difference between what we call a census number, so that is the number of women in prison today. So let's say in New South Wales there are 920. Then there is a completely different number, and that is what we call the flow. So the flow is over a year, how many go in and out. And the flow rate is much higher than we see in the daily rate. So, for example, in New South Wales, over a year, 3,000 women cycle in and out. And by far the majority of those have been on remand. and Aboriginal women are massively overrepresented on remand. So keeping women out of remand has now become a huge focus for us and for others across Australia who are very concerned about the number of women going in on remand.
You're the co-chair of QWOOP, Keeping Women Out of Prison. Let us know what this coalition is and how it commenced.
Yeah, look, thank you, Jodie. Look, it started about 13 years ago. QWOOP was started by a group of women who began to hear that women in prison were in many ways more disadvantaged than men, partly because they're a very small percentage, so around 8% across Australia, around 8% of people in prison are women, but that prison systems were geared for, created for men, and there are very poor in most places. There are very poor arrangements for women for many reasons. Health reasons, for mental health. Women have much higher mental health needs than men. Almost all the women who go into prison have experienced violence, the majority family and domestic violence. Many of them have been involved as young women, children and youth, in criminal legal matters, being picked up by police. So there are a whole range of things that began to worry a group of women here in New South Wales who wondered what they could do. So they belong to a philanthropic organisation called Sydney Community Fund. And the Sydney Community Fund is focused on women. So it covers a whole range of things, education, employment, and so on. And so they created this group, Keeping Women Out of Prison, as what we call a sub-fund of Sydney Community Foundation. And Sydney Community Foundation has supported QWOOP from then on, all of this time. Now, what we are made up of, we comprise organisations that work with women. There are not that many, but almost all those who do so in New South Wales belong to QWOOP. So there are housing, there's post-release, there's mental health, there's drug and alcohol, there's Aboriginal women's health and so on. All of these organisations, almost all of them NGOs, belong to QWOOP. Then there are individuals like me. I'm an academic, or retired academic, but I'm an academic, and there are a number of academics like me who are involved, a number of individuals who just feel really strongly about this. Then most importantly, we have women with lived experience. So many women who have been through the system are members of QWOOP. And this is a very broad coalition. It is apolitical. We want to just keep women out of prison. And so we work across bipartisan, multipartisan, across the spectrum in Parliament, and we meet with parliamentarians, we advocate. So QWOOP is an umbrella. Mm. We're an umbrella organisation. We don't provide services. We support all of the organisations that provide services, and we go into bat for them. We advocate that they be given a fair amount of funding to do the work they need to do, and we advocate on behalf of women with lived experience. They advocate on their own behalf to government and so on. So that's what QWOOP is.
My guest is Eileen Baldry, Professor Emerita of Criminology at the University of New South Wales, and your research focuses on social justice, particularly examining mental health and cognitive disability in criminal justice systems, as well as prisoner education and post-release support, homelessness, women and girls criminalisation, Indigenous justice. The list goes on. Too many of our women are being locked up. I note that QWOOP had their 10th annual parliamentary breakfast recently, and the Justice of the Supreme Court of New South Wales delivered the keynote address. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. So Justice Dina Yeha is just a marvellous, marvellous person. She started her legal career once she graduated. She started her legal career with Aboriginal Legal Service in Western New South Wales. So she understands the nature of the pressures and the difficulties and the over-policing and the disadvantage that Aboriginal people in New South Wales experience, not only in regional and remote, rural and remote, but of course there are many areas in Sydney with larger proportions of Aboriginal people who live there. So she had her start understanding the kind of needs that she was then representing as a lawyer. And then she was appointed to the judiciary, and eventually she became supreme on the Supreme Court in New South Wales. Now, her address was marvellous because she was able to give some specific examples of the ways in which women, Aboriginal women, can be diverted, supported and diverted out of criminal legal management, whether that's police cells or community from prison. And there is a list here, there is a bar book here called the Bug Me Bar Book. And really interesting, if your listeners don't know of that, the Bug Me Bar Book is a book that our Justice, Justice Yeager, was involved with, and many others have been involved with, putting it together to give judges a bar book on the bench to address to understand all the social issues that have propelled many Aboriginal people into criminal legal management. And so she gave a couple of excellent, wonderful examples from a list that they have called the Wallamai List, which addresses particularly Aboriginal people facing sentencing, facing court, and the support, the way in which supports make all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And why this was, and the reason this was so excellent for our absolutely packed morning breakfast, 270 people there, plus about 20 parliamentarians came, for them all to hear, look, we can do this. This is possible. We do not have to send all these people into prison. Yeah. And to hear that from a Supreme Court justice was so important.
Ah, look, thank you so much for joining us on the program today, Eileen, and some really good take-home information as well. And it's great that there are coalitions like COOP that are advocating on behalf of all of those agencies who are working with our people. And just some of those horrific stats again, 22 times, if you're an Aboriginal woman, you're 22 times more likely to be in prison than non-Indigenous women. Aboriginal women are over 40% are significantly overrepresented in the women's prison population. There is, of course, an intergenerational impact when Aboriginal mums are incarcerated. Most kids enter care, feeding a care-to-prison pipeline. It's just a terrible, terrible situation. Keep up the great work with COOP, Keeping Women Out of Prison Coalition, and thank you so much for joining us on Law Matters. If people wanted to find out more about COOP, how can they do that?
Yeah, so if you just type QWOOP, K-W-O-O-P, into your browser, your search, you will find it. It will pop up for you. And look, I'm very happy, Jody, for you to give people my connection if people genuinely would like to know more about what we're doing. My email address is really easy to find. I'm at UNSW, and if you just go to UNSW and type my name in, you will also come up with my email address. So we are really, really keen. We work in New South Wales, but we have partners in Victoria and further afield. So we want to work with anyone who is really working genuinely to keep women out of prison.
Thanks so much for your time on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jody. Bye.
Professor Emerita Eileen Baldry AO, co-chair of QWOOP, Keeping Women Out of Prison. Let's have a listen to South Summit. When we return, we're heading to the Kimberley region of Western Australia to have a yarn with Melissa Clark, independent member of the National Justice Policy Partnership. Stay tuned. Law Matters. That's Local Act, South Summit and River Days here on the Law Matters program and brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, going up to the beautiful Kimberley region of the state now to welcome to the program Melissa Clark, independent member of the National Justice Policy Partnership. Melissa, welcome to Law Matters. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Jodie. Oh, look, be back.
yeah, you've been on our show before. You're a long way from home, though. Let's start by where you're from. Who's your mob?
Yeah, so I'm a very proud Ngurrindjeri Kaurna Wirragu woman, you know, from Kaurna country. And at the moment, I'm visiting family up in the Kimberley. And, you know, I'd like to acknowledge the Warrawa Nikina people and thank you for your patience in my pronunciation of that, but, you know, definitely pay respects to you know, the traditional owners and the ancestors and everyone that continues to care for country, culture and community up this way.
It's a beautiful part of the world, isn't it?
Oh, it's just stunning. It really is. I think that if I was ever going to leave my home country in South Australia, I would like to come up here.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. Melissa, tell us about your role as an independent member of the National Justice Policy Partnership and what that actually is.
The Justice Policy Partnership was stood up under the National Agreement on Closing the Gap in about 2020. And under the new agreement, it was actioned that a number of policy partnerships across different socioeconomic areas would come together, so we would be bringing state and territory governments, the Commonwealth, representatives from peak Aboriginal organisations and independent experts to get some national leadership and coordination to look at best practice, to provide advice and recommendations to the Commonwealth, but also back to their own jurisdictions, and particularly the Justice Policy Partnership, to reduce the mass incarceration of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults and children. Like I said, this was stood up in 2020. It was stood up very quickly in response to the fast-growing mass incarceration, as well as the rise in deaths in custody. So I commenced my role on that policy partnership when I was actually working for the state government. So I was a South Australian government representative, and when I left government a couple of years later, I expressed my interest to become an independent expert on that, and have been sitting on it ever since. I guess the role of independent members is more accountability, but also really being able to elevate the voices of our community members and communities right across the country without having the hamstring that sometimes is when you're working for a peak organisation that's funded by government or government. So we get to bring a lot of truth telling and accountability and a demand for transparency around decision making sitting at that table.
The over-representation of our mob around the country within prisons and courts just continues to grow. It's 2026, yep. And it's clear that the current system is failing our people. We need to be looking more at diversionary programs. And the Aboriginal Legal Service in Western Australia operates a program called Old Ways, New Ways. And it gets in there and it works with our young crew, it works with their families, it works within the community to break that cycle and just work with families and support families through those years. And it's working. It's kicking goals everywhere. It's not rocket science, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. We just need the political will and the support by governments financially and also structurally to be able to have similar programs and services which will influence change in the system right across the country. Yeah. And, ALSWA really are doing amazing things, and, the rest of the country can absolutely look to them for leadership around this.
My guest is Melissa Clark. And look, we know what's going on here in the justice system in Western Australia, but word is filtering out to the rest of the country about the extraordinary situation we find ourselves in. Western Australia covers, 2,500-3,000 kilometres from north to south, a massive area. The Aboriginal Legal Service here has 12 offices statewide. We've faced with the situation where on the 1st of June, 26 regional courthouses closed their doors and will remain closed until the end of August, amid a security dispute between the Justice Department and the police. It's absolutely ludicrous. What we're finding as a result of that is, well, obviously many people can't attend to their court commitments. We're talking hundreds, thousands of miles of travel, sometimes in remote and regional areas of Western Australia, to do that. In some cases, it's come to light now that the police are actually flying people from communities to a major centre for their court appearance, but then that person is being left there with no way to get home. And some of these communities, you know, it's not like their buses are going in and out. These are remote and regional areas of the state. It's an absolutely ludicrous situation. You've been in Broome and Derby. Has it been the topic of discussion amongst people you've spoken to there?
Look, it certainly has. And, you know, I will say that in my day job, I am the strategic director for First Nations Advocates Against Family Violence. So our sector heard about this at the same time as the Aboriginal legal sector, which was only a couple of weeks before the court closures. So it's been a really interesting experience actually being here in the Kimberley and, you know, speaking to the mob who it is actually impacting. And you're absolutely right, Jodie. Like, I'm hearing stories of, you know, individuals having to travel, you know, up to, you know, 400-600 round trips just for a couple of hours in court. So essentially what we're talking about is what would be an appointment with the court, which could last half a day, is actually lasting 2 or 3 days, if not more, depending on what happens when individuals are stranded in the courts that are operating like Broome. And, you know, for people doing it tough, being able to afford transport to get there, if they've got the, you know, if they have a licence in the first place, relying on other members of their family or community to drive all that way. I heard a story of one individual who had to be at Broome Court by 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon they were still in court waiting with another 20 people lined up. And, you know, thank goodness that individual was able to return back within the next day. But this is really setting our communities up for fail. How are they supposed to meet employment obligations, caring obligations for family? It's ludicrous, it's outrageous, it's extraordinary, but it's also incredibly negligent. Like, we've got so many barriers for our mob already accessing justice, and yet to impose this on what's supposed to be our government to be able to do the right thing, it's almost criminal. Like, there's no mitigating factors in there. Like, if we do, you know, if there are individuals that can't get to their court hearing or simply don't know about it because the communications and notifications haven't been successful and they don't go to court, then warrants are going to get issued. Or if they're stranded, they might reoffend, or there might be overcrowding issues in houses that they're staying at. Like, the list of concerns are just huge.
It's a ridiculous situation. Peter Collins is the Director of Legal Service with the Aboriginal Legal Service in Western Australia, and he strongly dismissed claims that the police lack the resources to continue providing court security in regional and remote communities. The custody notification service in this state, by the end of this year, will have taken 50,000 calls. That's 50,000 people, Aboriginal people, who will have been arrested by the WA police by the end of 2026. So it's clear that policing on the ground is continuing, and over policing on the ground is continuing. So that is no excuse for this. Peter said that the WA police are willing to arrest, charge and refuse bail, but then claim that they have no role in ensuring the timely and efficient administration of justice by providing security for courts. He said that their attitude was deplorable and should be condemned. It's just such a backward way of operating. It's a second class system, and I really think that WA needs to hang its head in shame over this one.
Oh, look, Jodie, I read the article that Peter featured in, and I noted the Commissioner of Police language around, well, you know, they've got to put more police on patrols to protect, say, victims, survivors of domestic violence. But that alone, they're actually enabling further unsafe environments and harm to victims, survivors of family and domestic violence. We had CEO of Aboriginal Family Legal Service up this way, Karina Martin. Mm. She's also come out quite strongly in the media, you know, speaking. Imagine being a woman who fears for her safety and the safety of her children, and then being told you travel hundreds of kilometres away from your community to access protection from the system that is actually making it very harder for you.
Yeah. Look, Karina is a former lawyer with the Aboriginal Legal Service, and she knows too well how damaging a move like this is. And don't forget, you know, the victims of crime, their court process are being massively hindered and delayed through this move as well. So, look, it's just everybody is speaking out about it. I don't know why the government isn't listening. And if they're putting people in and flying them to appear in court, surely it's not a cost-effective measure either.
Well, I'm really, it really beggars belief, Jodie. Like, I know the system, I guess there's, you know, court security is a little bit to the way it's set up in South Australia. We have independent contractors, a group called G4S. And so looking at, I know that there are different contracts in, I think, metro regions here, but police security or auxiliary police security are the ones responsible for the safety of the courts. Now, if they've got enough money to be flying fellas around, you know, this huge place that we have here in Western Australia, when they foresaw this plan back in 2024, why didn't they look at bringing in contractors that are experts in providing security in these sort of environments? This came up at our Justice Policy Partnership meeting just this week, and unfortunately, the WA response to that was nothing more than what we've heard in media. But for me personally, look, I'm an ex-police officer. I was a police prosecutor. You know, I've worked, you know, almost three decades in the justice sector, and I'm really struggling to see what they can put in place by August 31st. We know that these sort of timelines blow out, and I think everybody needs to be up in arms and demanding a faster, more appropriate response to ensure fair and safe accessibility to the...
Look, Melissa, really appreciate you sharing your views with us on the program today, and I look forward to our next yarn as well, sis. Until then, enjoy the rest of your time in the Kimberley in Western Australia, and maybe we'll catch up over in SA one time, hey?
For sure. Lovely to speak to you again, Jodie. Take care.
That's Melissa Clark. She's an independent member of the National Justice Policy Partnership joining us on Law Matters Today. Coming up soon, we're going to be having a yarn with a fellow by the name of Nick Espy, who is the General Manager of NATSLS. NATSLS is the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. And we'll be talking about the role of NATSLS. I'll be talking about Nick's former role with the Aboriginal Legal Service many moons ago in Kununurra, and also getting NATSLS' views on the court closures here in Western Australia. First, though, let's have a listen to Maisha, a song called Broken Tongues.
Stand out in this aching crowd. They feel just space. They don't like your sound. They don't trust your broken mind. Swallow your history down and watch the bitter taste out. Books burn on shelves, so why be acting or proud? Rewriting yourself into something else. Tell them where you come from, in the odds that you have overcome. To stand among them with the warrior within the blood. It ain't no broken song, but a harmony of two tongues. Listen close here now, know that this is how the gods sound. Na 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 kumbu, kani ganimba, na na.
Do something else right behind the eyes. I've been fearing the power within that the history tried to hide. Rising feeling that all you need is the space to grow in. Thinking that things only get better when you give up the shame and. And you understand.
Tell me where you come from in the odds that you have overcome. To stand among them with the warrior within the blood. It ain't no broken song, but a harmony of two tongues. Listen close here now, know that this is how the God sounds.
Yeah, Maisha and Broken Tongues here on the Law Matters program, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia for the past 16 years. Jodie Hoffman in the chair with you this hour. Thank you for your company and shout out to our listeners listening in nationally through the National Indigenous Radio Service and in WA through Warrengarry Media in Kununurra, 6DBY in Derby, 100.9 FM Noongar Radio in Boorloo. Good to have your company. Focusing today, as we have been for the last few programs, on the court closures in Western Australia. 26 regional and remote courthouses have closed their doors from the 1st of June until the end of August, causing, of course, absolute chaos in the regions and ridiculous stories of people being picked up from remote communities in planes, flown to court to appear in court, and then being left in those towns with no way to get home. Anyway, we're going to keep the momentum up on this because it's such an important issue that we need to speak out about. And I'd like to welcome to the program right now Nick Espy, who is the General Manager of NATSLS. NATSLS is the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service. Nick, welcome to Law Matters. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Before we start, Nick, where are you from? Who's your mob?
I'm in the man, so my family's from Alice Springs. But I also have family up through the top end of the territory, and also have family and cultural connections in the Kimberley in WA, where I also lived and worked for many years in legal services there.
Yeah, well, I reckon when the last time I saw you was probably about 20 years ago, you were the Aboriginal Legal Service lawyer in Kununurra.
I was. Jodie, that's right. I started as the managing solicitor at the ALS in Kununurra, and it's, I always reflect on the just somewhat the growth of the positive growth of the kind of legal services that support the justice sector. Initially, there was just myself as kind of the only lawyer in the region, and then to see the Community Legal Service and the Legal Aid Commission grow. But yeah, sad to hear that other court-related services are now not also growing and adapting and meeting the needs of our communities.
It's a crazy situation we find ourselves in. Nick, I'm really keen to have a yarn with you because I know you've spent decades working in the justice system with mob. Look, it's pretty tough in remote and regional areas, isn't it?
It certainly is. And look, you know, court services is just one of the services or the few services that our mob in communities have. Essential services, you know, Centrelink, banks, courthouses and kind of front counters are often just not in the smaller remote towns and communities. So it's sadly no surprise that this has happened with courts being reduced. It's just another case of when something disproportionately affects Indigenous people, it's often not seen as a huge issue. It's hard to imagine if this was something affecting the mainstream community that there wouldn't be even more outrage, or it wouldn't have happened. So
that's right.
Well, it is, yeah.
Well, out of the 26 courts that have closed in WA, 23 of those courts are accessed predominantly by Aboriginal people. So there's a lot of delays that are occurring, not just for the accused, but of course for victims of crime as well. Lengthy delays, a lot of stress, a lot of unnecessary stress. And I hope it shocks our listeners to know that in Western Australia, by the end of this year, WA police will have arrested 50,000 people. So the CNS line that operates 24/7 by the ALS in WA will have taken calls from 50,000 Aboriginal people who have been arrested. So there's no excuse that policing on the ground isn't happening, and that's why security at the courts can't happen. So it's a ludicrous situation, Nick Espy, and I'm keen to know what NATSLs think of it. You're the general manager of NATSLs, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. I know you're very new to the role, so just from, you know, a month into that new role, what do you think of all this, particularly having known that you've worked here in the state?
ALS, Western Australia's position that, you know, this needs to be rectified immediately. I have worked in a number of these towns and counties in the Kimberley region that I understand are now facing this challenge of not having their courts operating. It does put huge uncertainty, not only for our clients facing criminal charges, but as you said, also for victims, for witnesses. It causes a lot of anxiety, frustration and uncertainty for people in the community. Particularly, you know, where there are matters relating to family members and that sort of thing, it can have a huge effect and disadvantage. It's not an uncommon thing. I can remember similar challenges where it seemed like Aboriginal people were kind of stuck in the middle of a dispute between whether it was police and the Department of Justice and either Serco or G4S that were the custodial services back, 20 years ago. We've seen these sort of challenges happen before, and it needs to be resolved. What a great opportunity to employ Aboriginal police auxiliaries or something like that in some of these towns and communities. So, you know, let some of our mob be involved in the solutions and provide employment opportunities.
Yeah.
We have similar challenges in the Northern Territory where some communities just don't have courts. People in Milangimbi, for example, have to get on a boat and go across to the mainland and then a four-wheel drive trip to Remington to go to court, and that's not something covered by the court. Similar things happen in, you know, people in Bigoton Island having to travel to Grew Island and those are just some examples from Arnhem Land where we have the same sort of challenges.
Yeah.
I think people forget it's not just the court. Like, people are quite used to the monthly court circuit, you know, rolling into their town and community, and they get the other related services that travel with that. So people can, you know, resolve fines, they talk to a corrections officer, all the things that they can't do because they can't just walk into a counter in the town.
Look, you know, and we take for granted, if you live in a city, the services that are available at your fingertips. But that circuit work that our lawyers and court officers do, and travel hundreds of miles to make sure that the justice system runs smoothly and people's cases are heard and instructions are taken. Yeah. And, a lot of places don't even have a car, that if you had to get from A to B, there might not be a car that you're available to use. And there would certainly, in a lot of cases, be no public transport. Nick, when you were with the ALS, going on 20 years ago. Peter Collins would have been the Director of Legal Services back then, as he still
is right.
Now.
Yeah.
He's described this interim situation and the use of the police air wing for transport as a mind-boggling exercise and extraordinary waste of community services. He's very concerned about the possibility of people being released with no way to go home after being flown from remote communities to larger centres for bail hearings. It's just, I've never heard of a situation before like this, have you?
I mean, sadly, there's similar situations that have occurred, but never should they be considered an acceptable way of delivering justice. Whether it's people having been on a police plane and that inconvenience, or the alternative, which I've known that, where, you know, people are having to spend, you know, time on the roads, and we have, as you know, regional area road accidents, particularly tragedies like death, happen on long distance driving.
That's
you're
right.
Forcing people into this situation of long distance travel. We don't have the same, you know, public transport options that people have in the busier populated areas. So it's often people trying to find a lift, get a vehicle, or, you know, the Greyhound bus that, you know, ends up becoming 3 or 4 day round trip. That's not including the cost of trying to find accommodation, but just for a, you know, 20 or 30 minute court appearance. But also so you can actually talk to your lawyer and have your matters dealt with in person. The difference between being able to talk face to face with your lawyer, or as a lawyer, being able to see a client and speak face to face with them, utilize an interpreter when you need one. There's so much that's lost in translation if you're not able to do that.
Nick, really appreciate your time on Law Matters today, and I look forward to future yarns. As I say, you're only a few weeks into the gig as General Manager of NATSLS, but we'd love to feature NATSLS on the program more. Keep our audience informed on all of the great work that Aboriginal legal services around the country are doing. And, you know, a united voice is a strong voice, hey?
That's right. That's the role of NATSLS as the peak body for Aboriginal legal services.
Nick, thanks for your time. Look forward to having a yarn again in the future, and you take care.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jodie.
Nick Espy is the General Manager of NATSLS, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services. There's ALSs all the way around the country, and we're all facing a lot of the similar struggles for our people within the justice system in this country. Can you believe we're nearly out of time on Law Matters for another fortnight? Don't forget that if you need any legal support or representation in WA, we have a free call number, 1-800-019-900. We can connect you through to any of our regional offices. We also have a website that has just been updated. It's deadly. www.als.org.au. If you go there, check that out. You can find out all about the diverse services that we do offer. And I tell you what, over the last 52 years since the ALS was established in this state, we have grown substantially. We've got a Facebook page. We keep you up to date there, Aboriginal Legal Service of WA Limited. We've got Instagram. We've got all that stuff. So please do keep an eye out on what we're doing. And if you're interested in the justice system, finding out more about our work and perhaps how you could get involved and maybe join the ALS team. To our listeners, thank you for joining us each fortnight, and I look forward to your company again in a fortnight's time. And until then, look after yourself, look after each other, and we'll talk to you soon.